Welcome to the Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers Show. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, along with co-host Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of the Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. Today, we are welcoming some friends from J Vineyards and Winery to talk about sparkling wine in general, but
one of my favorites.
I know. Also, Sparkling Harvest. It's different.
It is different.
And food pairings are different. So I think we're going to get into all those categories of conversation very soon. But let's go back a little bit because, I mean, as you mentioned, like sparkling is so important to you. It's part of this whole good stuff mentality that we've embraced and hope others will embrace now. but why sparkling?
Yeah, well, we're here on our second show of the good stuff and really inspired by this notion of drinking the good stuff and not just drink the good stuff because you should drink the good stuff, but really around embracing sort of this idea of living in the moment and really living life to its fullest. And, you know, we've talked a lot about what our community goes through, and I was able to do a TEDx talk last year that I entitled Drink the Good Stuff, and I was sort of sharing my personal journey of being in this role with the wine growers and sort of always pushing the envelope on what's next, so trying to be very forward thinking. But then going through the 17 wildfires and losing my own house and having had this really profound experience just days before the wildfires, where on a random Tuesday night, against my better judgment at the time, opened an incredibly expensive bottle of sparkling wine and had it with takeout food. Like, what are you doing? And then fast forward a couple days later and had lost everything in the fires and was just having this moment of thankfulness, which you go, how do you have a moment of thankfulness in the middle of crisis? But really a moment of thankfulness that on a Tuesday night in a world of sort of chaos and it's hard to slow down, that we had paused and opened this really great bottle of wine and just enjoyed it. And it made me sort of think about some of those clothes I lost in my closet that still had tags on them, or that, you know, my expensive purse that I only took out when it was like a formal evening. And you realize, like, why do you wait to wear that sweater you were so excited to buy? Like, just do it. Like, just enjoy it. Life is short. You don't know what's around the corner. And so really appreciating and embracing sort of the good stuff. So yes, sparkling was sort of the foundational wine behind the good stuff and Drink the Good Stuff TED Talk. And now the column, Virginie, that you've been writing for us for over a year, sharing the good stories in Sonoma County, and now this show, the good stuff, all things good stuff, I guess.
Well, I do think there's a famous quote, and I do think it says champagne, but we can adapt it to sparkling wine, but it's essentially like, I drink champagne when I'm happy, and I drink champagne when I'm sad.
Absolutely.
And so I think
that's the motto.
You did that, and many people do that, and it always is a way to lift your mood, lift a meal, lift any type of gathering that you're having. And so that's why we love it. And Sonoma County does it so well, too, yeah. Which is also an important part of what we're here to celebrate. So,
do you know what? And I've gotten to share my story, but you've agreed to sort of host this show. So what is the quick bio, Virginie, on you?
Well,
or I can tell it, my version of it, but I don't know if you want that.
You can add if you want. I like to keep things quick and kind of unembellished, but I've been a wine writer for about 20 years. I've lived here in Sonoma County, sort of focusing on Sonoma County wines for a long time. I spent probably the bulk of my career at Wine Enthusiast, which is kind of around the time that we met.
Yeah.
And started talking after the 2017 fires, quite frankly, about how we could continue to help this community and be a part of this community and look forward, not look back, celebrate the good stuff, essentially. So we're kind of in exactly the right place. So that's mostly my story. I'm a wine writer, wine critic. I just love being out there in the vineyards. And so having a chance to tell Sonoma County's story in a deeper way this way is going to be really fun.
And I just think you're an incredible storyteller. And so I love when I read something you write, and I love hearing you ask questions and interview and chat and your version of sort of what makes Sonoma County such a wonderful place to live and be a part of.
Thank you for that.
So lots of good stuff coming up. The good stuff coming up on the good stuff. I didn't even intend that. See how easy that is?
Oh my gosh. It just rolls off the tongue. I mean, it has so many purposes, so many ways that you can you can use that in your mentality.
Absolutely. So a great show ahead, right? You were mentioning we have our friends from Jay Vineyards and Winery, and
yeah,
we're talking sparkling today.
We're gonna start off with Nicole Hitchcock, the winemaker at Jay Vineyards, and talk about Sparkling Harvest and how it's different from still. This is the good stuff. Sign up for our newsletter online at sonomawinegrape.org. Back to the good stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers Show. We are here today with our friends from Jay Vineyards and Winery. We have head winemaker Nicole Hitchcock. Thank you for joining us so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Caroline Shaw, Senior Director of Marketing and Communications at E&J Gallo Winery, which works with Jay Vineyards very closely. So thank
bubble
you so
time,
much.
Bubble time.
Bubble time. Always great to be with this powerhouse group of women.
Both Sonoma right? County residents, both longtime Sonoma County proponents of all things agriculture and wine. But we really want to get into, I mean, we've talked a lot about, Carissa and I, our mutual love of bubbles and how important they are for times when you're happy and times when you're sad. And certainly
all times.
With food.
It's the takeaway.
All times. Good times.
Bubbles.
Good times. Bad. They make good times. They make it. But we also want to get into maybe the agricultural side
That's
of sparkling as well. Maybe a little bit of the history of sparkling in Sonoma County, because what I was thinking a lot about was we have such a rich, deep history with sparkling. It is something that we do exceptionally well, thanks to so many producers like Jay. So tell us, Nicole, a little bit, you know, you've been at Jay for a little while as the head winemaker, but what drew you to bubbles? What drew you to Sonoma County? Like, what was sort of your understanding of where we fit in the world of bubbles?
Yeah, I joined Jay in 2015, and I can say that prior to that, I had been a lifelong sparkling lover of all types of sparkling.
Yes.
And what really drew me to Sonoma County was a couple things. First, we produce arguably the best wines on the planet in the region.
Here, 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 here.
And second, there were a lot of parallels to where I grew up in Monterey County. So, you know, proximity to the coastline, beautiful weather, beautiful scenery, and a great food and wine culture. And so, what I love about bubbles as well is that they are so versatile. So you just said you can have them when you're happy, you can have them when you're sad, but they're also just so versatile for enjoying with food and really just enhancing any experience.
You can sip them on their own. You can sip them with food.
I think Chris is going to come up with a song by the time
I know,
this,
right? That might just be our new. That might be our new theme song.
I think it's in the works for sure. But as a winemaker, did you have any considerations or any concerns about making sparkling? Did it seem? I mean, it's very intense. It's very hands on. It takes a lot of. You know, detail, attention to detail. Was there anything that you thought about would be more interesting, more difficult about it?
Yeah, I had been a winemaker for about 15 years before I actually got into sparkling winemaking. And I think if you ask any winemaker out there, if they haven't made sparkling wine before, they want to make sparkling wine because it's this additional challenge. You know, still winemaking is its own endeavor and it's own craft. When I jumped into sparkling winemaking, I was introduced to a different level of, you know, precision, essentially. So there are a lot of steps within the sparkling winemaking process where you have to be extremely precise, and the attention to detail is more so than I had ever experienced. And I mean, I laugh. I think about when I first started sparkling winemaking, my boss at the time, who had been a sparkling winemaker himself in the past, was told me, "Are you sure you want to get into this? It is year-round winemaking. It's not just a big thing during harvest and then off-season blending. with sparkling winemaking, you're bottling all year long. You're coming back and you're touching each wine that you produce multiple times. So there literally is never a dull moment with sparkling winemaking, which I think is part of the allure for me. I think one of the challenges of sparkling is that, well, one is that summer ends early.
Yeah,
with sparkling, wines, you are always the first up. And so I tend to, anything after August 1st, I'm not making any kind of social plans because I'm anticipating the start of harvest. But the other thing is that there is a next level degree of patience that is required for all of the aging that sparkling, high-end sparkling winemaking requires. And so, you know, I try to be patient. Sometimes it's difficult.
So I was going to ask Nicole, so, I mean, I love, you know, I work with the growers day in and day out, and I think it's just very appropriate that the first harvests of the year are for sparkling wine, which gives our farmers a lot to cheers about, because as they say, it's the first time money is coming the other direction towards them instead of away from them. So they appreciate, you know, that they actually can see something through fruition. But maybe talk a little bit, you said there's a lot of differences and it's obviously more complex to make sparkling, which sometimes is kind of interesting because I think at the end of the day, you just want to toast and cheers and celebrate it, but there's a lot that goes into it. Can you talk about the actual process for folks out there that might not really know what the difference is between making a still wine and a sparkling wine?
One of the very first primary differences is the start of harvest, which I just alluded to. We start early, and that's because we're harvesting the grapes at a lower maturity level mm-hmm. than you would for still wines. So
why?
Well, so you know, we have higher acidity. You've got lower Brix or sugar levels in those grapes, and the reason for that is that ultimately, as you go throughout the process within sparkling wine, you want to end up having a lower alcohol and higher natural acidity because it's just going to provide more balance to the mm-hmm. wine. The bubbles really amplify everything in the wine, and so if you ultimately had if you started with higher sugars, that translates to higher alcohol, mm. ultimately lower acidity, it would make the wine out of balance. So early harvest start. As we go through the process, the sparkling wine is made up front very similar to still wines. So you make you press the grapes, you make your base wines right off the bat. We put our blends together, usually in the winter following the harvest season. And then we bottle the wine. But it's not just like your still wine bottling. We're adding sugar and we're adding yeast to the to that base wine so that it will conduct a secondary fermentation in the bottle. So that secondary fermentation happens under crown cap, and that's what creates all of the magical bubbles that ultimately we'll see.
It's making me thirsty. How about you?
I think I'm always thirsty, but I actually also have a question about vineyards, because I do think Jay is unique in that you have a lot of estate vineyards that you use specifically. Well, you make still wines as well, but do you have vineyards that are earmarked just for sparkling, or are there certain blocks, or how do you look at the farming side?
And before you get into that, Caroline is doing the honors of popping some bubbles over here. So, because
all right,
it feels like we should be drinking bubbles if we're talking bubbles.
Drinking.
So I just, if you hear a pop, we should just do a little like, yay.
I wish I had a saber, but oh well.
That might be more cleanup than we're used to.
Do you want us to do a play-by-play, though?
She's unwrapping
slow
the cage.
Slow motion.
She's about to unleash the cork.
You can continue on.
I know.
All right, let's...
Nicole. Sorry about that. I just got very excited.
Yes.
I mean, it's Pavlovian. If you see a bottle of bubbles, it's like, oh, I know. We got
to
open it.
I haven't
it.
Even been able to make eye contact with Nicole because I've just been staring at the bottle.
I know.
So,
I'm starting
to feel very rude, you know?
Bubbles is all... It's all about anticipation,
it
right?
Is.
I love that Pavlovian response.
And I think we're ready for the pop.
Okay.
It's coming.
Delayed gratification.
Oh my God.
Sparkling.
You have to work for sparkling.
I know.
Just like the winemaker did.
I know. Well, the fun thing about bubbles that people don't know, because I think we enjoy as society that beautiful pop of celebration.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Oh, perfect tee up. But you're not actually supposed to pop the bubbles, right? I mean, if you watch sommeliers, they would do a slow twist and it'd barely like... There'd be a very slight gasp when the bottle opens, barely audible. But I just can't do that. When I open bubbles, like, I'm all in, completely inappropriate, ripping the cork because I just want to hear the pop. To me, that is like the moment where you welcome those bubbles into the world and, you know, into right. my glass.
Well, so. You just want to make sure you don't lose any of those bubbles,
I know.
You know, in the process. But,
that's fair.
All right. So,
okay, so
now
sorry.
You have,
yes.
you have your glass of... of Jay Sparkling. What have you brought for us today?
I have brought our 2019 Blanc de Noir. And so this is all of the fruit is from Russian River Valley. This is a small lot. We only make a few hundred cases of this and distribute it directly through our wine club and through the winery tasting room. But this one is really special to me out of our portfolio. We make about 12 different sparklings at Jay. And this one is just so intense with the red fruit characters that we tend to get with Pinot Noir. This is about 75% Pinot Noir, but the remaining 25% is Pinot Meunier. Mm. And there's not a lot of Pinot Meunier that is grown in California or in Sonoma County, but that it's a varietal that we've included in Jay Blends since the very beginning. And it really contributes this this nice earthy kind of minerality to the wine as well. So it kind of tempers all of that nice, rich red fruit that you get from the Pinot Noir.
And I was disruptive. I know Virginie had asked you other questions, and I got excited with the bubbles.
I'm not at all surprised. Not at all surprised.
And so it goes.
But I am wondering if maybe just because some people don't think about bubbles as much as we do, but Blanc de Noir is going to usually have Pinot Noir in the mix, possibly Pinot Meunier, more rare, to your point. Blanc de Blanc is usually going to be Chardonnay-based or Chardonnay completely. Like, how do you... make your wines?
At Jay, we adhere strictly to just the three varietals of Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier. And, you know, you asked earlier about vineyards, and I will say we're very fortunate to own and have access to some of the best vineyard properties in Sonoma County, and Russian River Valley in particular. For the sparkling grapes, I tend to lean more towards the southern part of the AVA. So Sebastopol Hills area, I think, produces some outstanding sparkling wine grapes. But I also like to venture and get a few blocks that are from up in kind of the Middle Reach area. So more northernly part of Russian River, because you get just a different type of fruit profile. For me, my approach to sparkling winemaking is to create individual lots that are each really unique in their own right, that are obviously reflective of the place and the vineyard in which they were grown, but that also give me stylistic options when later I'm going to come sit down, taste through each of the lots, and then ultimately put blends together.
And so how long will you be focused on sparkling wine harvest before you move to still? I mean, I know some of it's out of your control, depends on the weather and lots of other factors, but in an ideal world, are you trying to do sparkling first for several weeks and then you move on to still?
It's all about the ripening trajectory, which is totally different every
Dang,
vintage.
Mother Nature strikes again.
Yes, I mean, sparkling is usually one of the it's one of the first grapes that that kicks off the season for us. But we also make quite a bit of Pinot Gris at Jay as well. So it's really those two. And the sparkling harvest tends to last anywhere from 4 to 5 weeks, maybe six. If it's a really extended season.
Okay. That makes sense.
I have to add, just because Nicole is so modest, is that, you know, when you are sparkling and a still winemaker, it is a long harvest. Yeah. You know, she's a working mom and she starts in August and goes straight through what?
You know, it's in recent years, it's been through usually the end of September. This year, as
Not
we're
this
in
season.
Vintage 2023, it's looking a little different. It's been a much later than... I would say recent years type of harvest. So producers across the region have started a lot later than they have really in the last decade plus. And it's, you know, it's going to be a compact season. It's been cool. So I am kind of an eternal optimist, and I am thinking this could be an epic harvest, but it also may be challenging given the lateness of the season. So, you know, we're all on pins and needles, kind of waiting and checking the weather every day and hoping that that everything pans out in an outstanding way.
Wow. I love bubbles.
Given the grape sourcing, of course it's going to be spectacular.
It's going to be great. I know. No, I mean, I think I love Chardonnay. I like most wines, certainly all Sonoma County wines, but sparkling is just so fun to think about even pairing. And I know we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about an incredible program that Jay has called Shifting the Lens. But part of what's fun about that I think is thinking through pairing an entire meal with sparkling, and then you get to add in your still wines too. So you have such a palette that you get to work with and that your chefs get to work with. So I think there's a lot of exciting conversations still ahead.
There is. We will take a quick break and we will be back to talk about sparkling pairings. Welcome back to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. We are continuing our conversation with Jay, head winemaker, Nicole Hitchcock, and Caroline Shaw, Senior Director of Marketing and Communications at E&J Gallo Winery. That includes Jay. And we talked a lot about sparkling harvest, what it takes to make a sparkling winemaker. I mean, it's kind of intense. I don't know.
Like, but we're so thankful.
Carissa is incredibly thankful. So keep working very hard.
We'll keep the bubbles flowing.
Keep the bubbles flowing.
Yeah. Thank you. Can't run out. But we want to shift a little bit to talk about, well, now I
no
use the word
pun
shift.
Intended.
I mean, now it's like it was in my head, it came out. So we're going to talk about this really innovative program that Jay has started, I think, about a year ago, maybe a little longer than that?
Yeah, we started last year. And as you said, innovation is sort of the key at Jay and at Gallo generally. It's really, they were one of the first to actually bring food and wine experiences to wine country. And that expanded into what is now today our bubble room, which is open from Thursday to Sunday. But for Shifting Lens specifically, yeah, we started last year, and it's an opportunity for us to really showcase voices, cuisines, flavors, and most importantly, perspectives around the wine industry, less so from the traditional Eurocentric that you see in most wineries to those that are more underrepresented.
Right, and that is something that is very different. And the bubble room has always been a very elevated sense of cuisine with bubbles, a real showcase for how you can pair food with bubbles on lots of different levels. But this new approach, what sort of sparked that?
All of us know in the wine industry that we have to really reach and have more inclusive, more diverse audiences, as well as employee base. It starts with what we all know Sonoma County is known for, sustainability. And sustainability is not just around the grapes, but it's around the people too. And so this is a way we can be more inclusive around people and representation. One of the stats I always throw out there is, you know, by the year 2040, 55% of 30-year-olds will be multicultural here in the United States. So we need to be talking to more audiences now to prepare us for the future. But the reality is, and I think one of the things that made this, and Nicole, please jump in here, is we like to have people want to see representation. That's why I love this room right now. We're sitting here and it's all women, powerful women, right? So you want to see representation in places where you go and where you drink wine. And
I think wine is also really interesting, because I think there's a lot of myths out there about what goes with wine.
Exactly.
And I think especially as you go towards any more local ethnic cuisine, as we would think of it, all of a sudden people get a kind of blinders and say, well, that's something I have to drink with a cocktail or maybe beer or sake or something else. And it's like, no, everything can go with wine, but it has to be thoughtful. And you have to sort of think about, and so I've been able to be a part of Shifting the Lens program and had the experience of that and the surprising pairings of different cuisines. But talk about what is Shifting the Lens, because I think, again, it's the only program I know of its kind welcoming guest chefs in and doing these unique pairings. So what does that look like? What are you doing over there at Jay?
Exactly that. We are having residencies. And so, again, last year we started with residencies with an Indian-based Chef Preeti ancestry and Chinese and immigrant. Who else?
And then we did vegan soul food.
Yes.
Which was incredible.
I didn't even know there was vegan soul food. So, like, that alone is a surprise.
And this year we've had Chef David Tu from a very well-known Oakland-based first-generation Vietnamese-American chef. And then most recently we had Chef Anna Castro, a Mexican-born, European-trained, but her traditional Mexican food is what everyone got to experience. But it starts with the chefs coming in. And again, they take over the kitchen for 2 weeks. They work with Nicole very closely. Why don't you talk about that collaboration in the kitchen and with the winemaking team?
Yeah, so I will say first that Jay really has a legacy of our culinary team on site. So we have our chef, Forrest Kellogg, mm-hmm. who's our full-time executive chef. And his team partner with myself and other individuals within the winery to pair the foods for the different dishes for our bubble room. And so in bringing in these guest chefs that are really infusing the energy in the bubble room with their own experience and their own types of cuisine, there's this collaboration between our estate chef as well as the guest chef, winemaking representation. We also have tasting room representation, and we all sit down, and it's like one of the best days of the year because we get to sit down and taste these incredible menus and then select the wines that are going to go with each of the cuisines. What I have learned through that pairing experience, and it's really been driven home through this Shifting the Lens series, is that just putting together a pairing based on a paper, looking at a recipe on paper, sometimes doesn't equate to the magic that that can be created from sitting down, tasting the dish, tasting multiple different wine options, and sparkling in particular, I will also say, is just the ultimate pairing agent, especially as you're going into when you're tasting cuisines that are maybe have more spiciness to them, maybe more acidity and more, you know, all of the flavors, sparkling can really be a nice component in pairing.
And I just want to honor the chefs that are coming. I mean, they're leaving their homes and their restaurants for a couple of weeks. This is a big commitment and investment in sort of this idea of Shifting the Lens and educating consumers and our local community about what's possible. I mean, can you talk a little bit about kind of what is expected or invited of them when they come, and then how do people get to experience what they're offering?
So Chris, exactly right. First of all, spot on in that this is really pushing the boundaries of what food and wine culinary integration is. We so often do think, oh, I'm having Chinese, I have to have beer or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, they have to leave. They come for 3 weeks to 4 weeks up to Sonoma County. They learned where the markets are. They work with our chefs on where to get the food for their different menus. And then they interact with our guests, which I think is probably the highlight of this. So anyone who wants to participate would go to our jwine.com and make a reservation that way. It's been just phenomenally well received. And I keep going back to this, but the conversations that have around with the chefs, with our culinary team, with Nicole, our winemaker, of course, is just you're not seen.
And I have to tell you, my favorite part is the chef gets to play their iPod mix of music.
Even better.
And it's like, I think that is actually one of the most surprising things is you see the chef and you're like, that's not what I was expecting. Is that Ace of Base that just came on? Or like a throwback to New Kids on the Block? Madonna? What are we listening to that delivers this incredible cuisine? So I love that it's at a total immersion of this experience that you get to, you know, have at in the bubble room.
Well, they also take over the deck, you know, the tablecloths, the napkins,
the
everything.
Whole look, the feel, yeah.
Flower arrangements. Chef Tu did flower arrangements from his mom's garden that remind him of that.
Wow.
It was very special.
I do think there's something particularly welcoming about bubbles. And then I also think there's something particularly welcoming about Sonoma County. And I wonder if that has been part of the appeal to these chefs to come here and to work with you.
Absolutely. And everyone who comes falls in love with Sonoma County immediately. I also want to add that we are really pushing our partnership with the Santa Rosa Junior College as well. We have a new program in partnership with them where we're actually giving them over $30,000 for scholarship opportunities because Nice. Our own fresh, our own chef Kellogg came from there, the culinary program. So we want to get back to the community to sort of bring the next generation of both winemakers and chefs.
That's amazing. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation. But this time, we're going to get a little bit more into pairing with bubbles. On the Good Stuff with our guests, Caroline Shaw and Nicole Hitchcock from J Vineyards. We were talking about the Shifting the Lens program and how innovative and how creative it was, and such a draw for these chefs to come to Sonoma County. And then, Caroline, you mentioned something about they love the markets here. They love what they can find.
Exactly. Sonoma, one of the few things you find is that all the growers from agriculture, not just grapes, they come here and they go to our farmers markets and they're like, wow. You know, that's not something you can do in Los Angeles, right? So it's a real draw for them to come here to Sonoma County.
So let's talk about some of the pairings that they've created, some of the things that you've seen that have really struck you as like, wow, like just some wow dishes or some wow ideas with the wines that you've been making at Jay.
One that really, Nicole, please, Chef Preeti Mistry, who was one of our chefs in residence last year and helps with the inaugural program, did a green pepper paired with our Brut Rosé. And I was like,
really? Wow,
green pepper and rosé?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Amazing. Okay.
Our chef, Tu David Fu, created these garlic noodles that were unbelievable. They were so simple, but also just so savory. There was a sweetness to them. And pairing that with a sparkling wine was just, it was the ultimate comfort food experience.
Well, I think that's what's so fun, especially about sparkling, is you can, I mean, my go-to is popcorn, potato chips, anything salty. If it has a little truffle salt on it, even better. But then to broaden this perspective to these, like you said, green pepper, like what?
Battered. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a lot of fun. And I think that's the important education and opportunity we as a wine community have to really be forward thinking and honor sort of the different cuisines and the different styles and the different approaches, and finding that spot where wine can coexist and actually add to the experience.
What I love is that with each of our resident chefs that have come to Jay, is that they have influenced our on-site culinary team to create different menus than we historically have. We've always been great at Jay about including diverse flavors and textures and pushing the boundaries of food and wine pairing. But these resident chefs have come in and they've helped us get to an entirely new level. The most recent Bubble Room menu that was not from our resident chefs, but it was influenced by them, was really delicious. It was Thai inspired. So there was this dish that it almost looked like a caprese salad, but it was Thai inspired. So there were some crushed peanuts, there was some fish sauce, tomatoes and cucumbers, olive oil, so delicious. And again, really different.
And I'm wondering if you've had any, you know, sort of inspiration from these chefs on the winemaking side. Are you starting to think about different ways that you can maybe change a wine or make a different type of wine or age something longer? Like what has inspired you?
I had this incredible experience with last year's Shifting the Lens chefs, and they all came in and we did some blending together. We did sparkling dosage trials, which was dialing in the balance of the wine. And so they directed me more towards the dry side. I think chefs in general like bright acidity. They also liked rosé. So we ended up making an extra brut rosé, which is super versatile in terms of pairing with all of their different cuisines.
And its name is called Shifted the Lens.
Oh, I like it.
Changing your perspectives, because we have so much more to do in wine country.
Yeah.
So what's next with that? I mean, you're closing out sort of one series of the program. Are you looking toward another year?
Yes, we're already committed to next year. We'll have several in residencies. The dates haven't been set yet, so keep going back to our website, and we'll have one on the road.
Wait, so how do they follow along? What's your website?
jwine.com.
So they can keep checking. Is there like a special area for Shifting the Lens or anything?
There
they can
is.
Click
tells
on?
You all the background about it, the program.
And where will the one on the road be? That's kind of a fascinating thing to do.
It is. We haven't decided yet. We're going to have one in San Francisco, but we want to take one further, maybe to the East Coast.
Wait, no breaking news today?
I think we're going to have to have them back. I know. Is really what it comes down to.
So. You got it.
Yeah, we'll book you for when you're ready to talk about it.
We'll have you
back.
Here, cheers to all of you for having
us.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Our second good stuff. All right. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Thank you, everyone. This is The Good Stuff. To read The Good Stuff columns, visit SonomaWineGrape.org. Krissa, another great show, great conversation. You're happy because bubbles were flowing.
Bubbles were flowing.
Let's talk about our Tuesday night wines because that is
our theme.
Finish things with.
And I love it. You made it sound like we've been doing this a long time now and we're like second show. So I feel like, shh, don't say that.
Stop.
Okay. I know. No, so my Tuesday night, I'm actually looking ahead and, Saturday, so a couple of days, but I'm gonna stick with the sparkling theme. And I did talk about, I do love Chardonnay and I love Blanc de Blanc bubbles, so I am gonna toast and wine down on Tuesday with some J Blanc de Blanc. So can't go wrong with that, continuing my bubble passion obsession. Maybe you might call it an obsession.
And a nod to their innovation. They're doing some really great things over there, so great Tuesday night wine, maybe every night wine.
What are you doing over there?
What am I doing?
I see some red. What's
well,
going on?
I got to balance you out once in a while. So
all the time?
I am doing one of the all-time great Pinot producers, Mary Edwards. I love all the wines that Mary Edwards makes. She has since retired, but there's a great team there continuing her legacy. And this is the Cooper Smith Pinot Noir. It's one of their estate vineyards in the heart of Russian River. Can't go wrong. It just signifies everything that we love about Sonoma County Pinot.
No, and I love, we've been talking with Jay and talking about innovation. And certainly, as you said, Mary Edwards, the person and the brand, has been really part of our Sonoma County story for generations. So love that.
Well, in our next show, we will be getting into Sonoma County sustainability. So
my other favorite topic besides bubbles.
I think you have a lot of favorite topics.
I
but
do.
We're going to get deep into Sonoma County's history of sustainability and the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission, what it does, where it's going, and one of your favorite questions to always ask, what's next?
What's next?
So thank you everyone for joining us here at The Good Stuff. I'm Virginie Boone with Carissa Cruz.
Till next time, drink the good stuff.
Learn more at SonomaWineGrape.org.